passed away, behold, all things are become new. He'll give you a new mind. He'll give you a new heart. He'll give you a new soul. He'll give you a new attitude. He'll give you a new name. He'll give you a new family. If you're in Christ, you are a new creature. You have your personal copy of the world's bestseller. I want to invite your attention to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 3. Yeah, that's a amen. Therefore, we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be preached by, rather be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Using that text, I want to talk for a few moments this morning from the subject, may I have your attention, please. May I have your attention, please. Attention is very important in life. Solomon, the great scholar and preacher, said, of all you're getting, get understanding. And because understanding is important in life, we have instruction manuals. Because understanding is important in life, we have teachers. We have counselors. We even have dictionaries because we're striving to get understanding. And according to the Encarta English Dictionary, attention means a mental focus. It means mental concentration and consideration. According to Webster's New World Dictionary, attention means mental concentration and readiness. And we know in life that attention is very important. As we go about the normal activities of life, it's very important that we pay attention to what we're doing. Because if we don't pay attention, that causes some serious problems. Amen. So in this message today, I want to talk about the importance of giving attention. May I have your attention, please? So I want to talk about two things with you this morning. I want to talk about, number one, the God who gets attention. And point number two, let us give the more sincere attention. Now, according to Genesis 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Also says in 1 John, or John, the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So God created all minds. God created intelligence and intellect. It is God who tells us to get understanding. That comes from God, get understanding. It is God who says that we should seek wisdom. And God is saying, in essence, today I have something very important to tell you. And if you will listen, I will bless your life. Amen. Because I have something very significant that I would like to share with you. So the God of our weary years and our silent tears says, I've got something to tell you. The God who is Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, says in essence, I have something that I want to tell you. But in order to tell you that, I have to get your attention. Amen. I have to have your attention. And God knows before you can help somebody, you got to get their attention. Amen. And God has a unique way of getting people's attention. Amen. On the backside of the desert, God set a bush on fire. Yes, it burned and it burned, but it didn't burn up. Moses said, let me turn aside and behold this great sight. God was saying to Moses, in essence, may I have your attention, please? On the day of Pentecost, in order to get the attention of the people, because you can't save folks if you don't get their attention. So on the day of Pentecost, God, in order to get people's attention, he sent the Holy Spirit to town as the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and to fill all the house where the people were sitting. He was saying, in essence, may I have your attention, please? Is that all right? And then God got the attention of a man called Saul. He was on the road to Damascus. It was his intent and his purpose to destroy the people of God. But God was trying to use this man. But the way he got his attention, God shined a light from heaven brighter than the noonday sun, and a voice out of the light saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? God was saying, in essence, may I have your attention? And then there was a Philippian jailer, a man whose charge was to keep people locked up. And he had people on the lock and had them in stock. In order to get this man's attention, God sent a great earthquake. And this great earthquake shook the locks and the socks off the jail. And it shook it up so much that all the doors were open, but it was an unusual jailbreak because not one prisoner escaped. And God was saying, in this, may I have your attention. And I'm saying to you that God is speaking to you today. He's saying, in essence, to you, may I have your attention. I want you to give some careful consideration to what I have to tell you. I want you to give some tremendous attention to what I have to tell you. It's very important what I'm going to tell you. Now, I want you to look with me at Hebrews chapter 2. Because here's the second idea. And that is, we ought to give the more sincere attention. Now, look at verse number 1 of Hebrews chapter 2. It says, therefore. Look at the statement, therefore. And we may ask, what is therefore? Is that all right? And whenever you have a therefore, it always points back to what has preceded it. It always points back to what has gone before. And when you, and Brother Wynn read so beautifully, I want to thank him for this fine reading. Brother Mike, I want to thank you for that wonderful invocation. Brother Rutledge for a great song, sir. Dr. Wide for a tremendous prayer. Amen. And we won't be very long, y'all. Amen. Well, y'all all right? Well, I go ahead and preach then if y'all all right. Amen. If y'all are hot, I'll shorten it. I'm a little hot myself, to be honest and frank. Praise the Lord. Amen. But when you look at chapter 1, it talks about the supremacy and the majesty and the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you ought to pay attention to Jesus. You ought to pay attention to who he is and his gospel. Because Jesus Christ is greater than angels. He's greater than the Old Testament patriarchs or fathers. He's greater than the prophets. He's greater than the Old Testament revelation. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We ought to let him have our attention. Is that all right? God, who in sundry time and diverse manner spake unto the fathers by the prophets, he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, by whom also he made all things, and he is, and by whom also he hath appointed him heir. So chapter 2 verse 1 says, therefore. It points back to what took place in chapter 1, that Jesus is a greater person. He has a greater name. He has a greater ministry. He has greater blessings. He has greater promises. So in view of this, therefore, what is therefore? For us to give, look at it, the more earnest he, that is sincere attention. You got to pay attention in this Christian life. Therefore, you ought to, because of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, you ought to give the more earnest heed. You ought to give some careful consideration. You ought to give some sincere attention to the message of the gospel. Lest at any time you should let it slip or drift away from it. Now, look at this text. Verse 1 says, we ought to, which implies obligation. But I want you to understand one thing. You are a free will agent. All of us today have free will. We're free agents. And we can give attention or we can not give attention. We ought to give in view of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Because keep one thing in mind, Jesus died for you. Put your name in the blank. Jesus died for you. He died for me. Jesus is in heaven right now making intercession for you. Jesus is coming back for you. Is that right? Can you say amen to that? Amen. Therefore, you ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, the message of salvation, lest at any time we should. And so we have alternatives. We can give attention or we can drift away from it. That's what he's saying. Either we give attention to the message of the gospel or we're going to drift away from it. Now look at this text. Look at verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give them more earnest heed to the thing we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now the imagery here is the idea of a ship on the sea. And the ship on the sea passes its haven because the pilot is not paying attention. Have you ever almost had an accident because you weren't paying attention? Have you almost ever set your house on fire? Hello, lights. Because you weren't paying attention? Well, this pilot passes his haven because he's not paying attention. You can be out in a boat and almost imperceptibly you will drift away from your mooring point. You will just drift away. That's why you have to in life, you got to pay attention. If that's true in the physical arena, on your job, you got to pay attention. Is that right? Or else you will drift away from it. Now, the alternatives are we pay attention or we drift. We pay attention or we drift away. That's happening to every one of us here today. Either we're paying attention or we are drifting away. Salvation is slipping away. That's the idea. If you don't pay attention, it will drift away. You see, Trace, so much is pulling at us. So much to deal with. Amen. There are things in place, if we're not very careful, they will pull us away from Christ. A lot of stuff you deal with from week to week. I know you had a lot of issues you had to deal with this week. But if you don't pay attention, these things will pull you away from Christ. A lot of things are competing for a place in our minds. And if we don't pay attention, we will drift away. Just life. Sometimes you talk to people, what's going on? Well, just life just going on. Brother, hit up what you get from it. Matthew 13, 22. He said we have two, our choices are paying attention or else drifting and letting salvation slip away. Our choices are paying attention or letting salvation drift away. We are free moral agents. We can pay attention or we can drift. Amen. Brother Hero, you have Matthew 13, 22. What does it say?
He also that receives seed among thorns.
He that receives seed among thorns.
Is he that heareth the word.
Is he that heareth the word.
At the care of this world.
And you just got so many things going on in your life. Hello? The care of the life. You got a lot of things to deal with. You got sickness to deal with. You got a job situation to deal with. You got family issues. Can you say amen to that? Lots going on in your life. A lot of stuff pulling on you. A lot of things pulling at you. And if you ain't very careful, those things will pull you away from Christ. The care of the world. And what else, Brother Hillary?
And the deceitfulness,
and the
of,
deceitfulness
riches.
Of riches.
Choke the word.
Choke the word.
And he becometh unfruitful.
And you see, it happens to people and they don't realize it's happening. How many this morning can say that was a time in my spiritual life when I was more motivated? I was more intrigued, but I done cut back. We can't afford to cut back when it comes to God. We don't want to cut back on our blessing, do you? Would you pray, Lord, you don't have to bless me the way you blessed me last year. In fact, Lord, you can cut back on my blessings. You wouldn't pray that, would you? Amen? So we gotta pay attention, church, unless, because the only alternative is we're going to drift away. Now, I want you to see something. Here, this text is dealing with a danger, but it's a danger that's subtle. You know what subtle means? S-U-B-T-L-E, subtle. You know what that word means? Oh, y'all scholars and teachers, and educators know what that word means. Ain't that right, Claudia? Who is that? Subtle. It's something that's subtle, and that means it's not obvious. It's happening, but it's hard to detect. A lot of folks started out in their marriage, they were just so lovey-dovey. 15 years later, they don't hardly hold hands. Oh, I wish I had some help in here. When you first got married, you said, oh, I do. 15 years later, you don't know whether you will or not. Come on, y'all. My question is, what happened? What happened? It was happening, but your relationship was slipping away, but you were not aware of it. You see, this text is dealing with danger, but it is subtle danger. It's not overwhelming danger. Some people in Birmingham today are in spiritual danger, but they're not aware of it. They're in spiritual danger, but they are not aware of the danger. It's sort of like hypertension. It's a hypertension, you feel fine, but you're on the verge of a heart attack or stroke because your blood pressure is high, but you feel all right. But just because you feel all right doesn't mean that something is not happening. And so he's saying that there are some people who are in danger spiritually. Perhaps there are some people who are in danger spiritually in this congregation, but you don't realize it because it's happening and you can't hardly sense that it's happening. So you got to pay attention. Amen. I told you several weeks ago, I like that got run over by a lady on a cell phone. Man, she just talking and just coming at me, and I froze for a minute. I said, well, she ain't going to stop. So you better get out the way or get run over. She wasn't paying attention. Jumps out the car. I'm so sorry. Well, at that time, I didn't feel very apologetic. I was still shook up from her about to hit me. But she wasn't paying attention. Now you ask yourself a question, and we're moving toward a conclusion. What's going to happen to people who don't pay attention to salvation? What happens to people who drift through life? Drift through life. And I'm coming as I live. One of the most important things you could ever have in your life is self-discipline. You can be great through self-discipline. Self-discipline can change your life. Are you listening? It's one of the greatest blessings. And they say either you deal with the pain of self-discipline or the pain of regret. Is that all right? But you've got to pay attention. God is saying, may I have your attention, please. Well, he talks about, as we move to a conclusion, he talks about this being a great salvation. He didn't just merely look at verse 3. He says, he raises a question. And apparently Paul, who I believe is the Hebrew writer, he did not believe in the doctrine of once saved, always saved. Look at this verse. He said in verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great? He didn't just merely call it great, Sister Johnson. He called it so great. Why is it so great? Number one, it is so great because the Lord himself came from heaven, came through 42 generations to tell us in person about this great salvation. Is that awesome? The Lord came down from heaven to teach us and to preach to us about this great salvation. It is so great because a great price was paid. The Lord of glory sacrificed himself in order that I could be saved. Ain't that good news? Lord, have mercy. Ain't that good news? It is so great because it saves us from the terribleness and the awfulness of sin. Sin is a terrible thing. It's an awful thing. And this salvation saves me from it. It's so great because great is my reward in heaven. I want to let you know this morning that this salvation that I'm talking about is magnificent. This salvation is tremendous. And don't you, it's yours. You are an heir of salvation. Look at Hebrews 1:14. You are an heir of salvation. You have an inheritance. You have an eternal inheritance. Don't drift away from it. Read 1:14, Hebrews 1:14. What does it say?
Are they not all ministering spirits?
Are they not all ministering spirits?
Sent forth to minister for
sent them. Forth to minister to whom?
Whom shall be heirs of salvation.
To the heirs. You are an heir of salvation. Would you say this? I am. Say it. I am an heir of salvation. Say it again. I am an heir of salvation. That's yours. That's yours. But don't drift away from it. Pay attention. Pay attention to what's going on in your life. Look at what's going on. Examine yourself. Talk to yourself. Look at yourself. See where you are. Don't fool yourself. Don't write checks and you know you ain't got no money in the bank. Hello? Don't charge stuff on your credit card when you're already over the limit. Oh, I wish I had some help in here. I can't get no help in here. Is that right? Don't let this salvation. Now, let me give you this, and we'll be finished. Let's do this. Hebrews 2:12 and 13. I'm sorry, Hebrews 2, 3, and Philippians 2, 12, and 13. Let's compare these two. So we've got two possibilities. Either I'm neglecting my salvation or I'm working out my salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Those are the alternatives. Can you say amen to that? Brother Hillary, read Hebrews 2, 3, 4. What does it say? How shall we escape?
If we neglect so great salvation.
Which at the first begun, spoken by the Lord.
And was confirmed unto us. By them that heard him.
Is that all right? Now, run to Philippians 2, look at verse 12. What does it say?
Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed.
And one way you work out your salvation, keep being obedient. Hello? Keep being obedient. Don't be hard-headed. Is that all right? Read, Brother Hillary.
Not as in my presence only. But now much more.
I don't care who's the minister of Bush Hill. Keep being obedient. Keep working out your salvation. Is that right? That's why we can have so much joy concerning Sister Maddie. Because we're convinced this morning that she worked out her salvation. Is that all right? She knew that one glad morning when this life was over, the Lord was going to come and see about it. Is that right? And that's why we can, and even though there's sadness, we can still have gladness because we're convinced that she has obtained that great inheritance. Is that all right? Work out your own salvation. Read.
But now much more in my absence.
Work out your own salvation. Now, how am I going to escape if I... If I neglect my health, I'm going to pay for it. Hello? If I neglect my family, I'm going. If I neglect this church, I'm going to pay for it. Is that right? If I neglect myself, if I neglect this great salvation, so I either can neglect it or I can work out my salvation with what, Brother Hillary?
With fear and trembling.
With fear
and trembling.
Trembling. That's a holy anxiety. So God is still saying, may I have your attention, please? And what we have to understand, the difference between something that's urgent and something that's important. Let me show you the difference. The phone rings. That's urgent. What is the phone when it's ringing saying? Answer me. Answer me. But guess what? It may just be somebody, a telemarketer. And when you see who it is, because now we don't have to answer that. We just look at the call ID. Come on, y'all. Said, not today. Is that right? Well, the phone ringing is urgent, but it may not be important. important. But salvation is both urgent. The day you hear God's voice, what should you do? That is, be obedient. It's urgent and it's important. How am I going to escape? Lord have mercy if I neglect this great salvation. And the answer is, I'm not. So, I don't need to be like a man looking in the mirror and forget what manner of man he is. I don't need to be like a man who builds his life house upon a foundation of sand, and his house could not stand up to the storms of life. And it's going to be some storms in life. It's going to be some storms in your life. And I tell you, if you ain't in a storm, you getting ready to go in one. And if you ain't getting ready to go in one, you're coming out of one. Is that right? And as long as you live in this world, there's going to be storms. Is that right? So I hear God still saying to your church, may I have your attention, please. Oh, I hear him saying, may I have your attention, please. Because I got something to tell you. Is that right? God is saying, I came down through 42 generations because I wanted to have your attention. Is that all right? Oh, he came down from heaven in order to get our attention. And if you got ears to hear, you ought to hear what God has to say. Is that all right? Oh, I just hear him saying, may I have your attention, please, because his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. Is that all right? And when you look at Jesus Christ, he's in a class all by himself. Can you say amen to that? Or when you look at Jesus, you ought to be able to say he's all right. Can anybody say the Lord's all right? Is Jesus all right? I tell you, he's all right. Is that all right? Because when I look at him, Hillary, I can say, Brother Damien, I find no fault in Jesus. Can anybody say this morning there's something wrong with Jesus? Can anybody say, Rachel, I find no fault in this man. Is that all right? Pilate looked at him and said, I find no fault in this man. Is that all right? Well, the stone that was rejected by the builders has become the head of the corner, and I find no fault in this man. Well, the word became flesh, Sister Johnson, and dwelt among us, and I find no fault in this man. Can you say amen to that? Well, the people who sat in darkness, they have seen a great light, because I find no fault in this man. Is that all right? A man shall be as a hiding place from the wind. You know why? Because I find no fault in this man. And that man is telling me, lay up treasures for yourself in heaven. That man is telling me, build your life upon the rock. Is anything wrong with him? You ought to put your eyes on Jesus, because he's in a class all by himself. Would you stand on your feet? That's the message. I find no fault in this man. Are you here today? As you look at life, are you drifting or are you paying attention? You ever been driving and somebody started to come over in your lane? Have you? And if they do, you know what's happening? If they're coming over in your lane, in most instances, they're not paying attention. I was going to Atlanta. Me and my brother Curtis, I didn't know exactly what my exit was. As a man, let me know when I get next to my exit. So I'm three lanes over. He said, there it is. Now, of course, I couldn't just cut across three lanes. I had to go to the next exit and come back to it. And sometimes life is that way. You're traveling down the highway of life and you see your exit. And you got cars in every lane. You just can't cut across. You got to pay attention. Is that right? So that's the message. May I have your attention? As you look at your life this morning, do you need to ask for prayer? Do you need to make a confession? Do you need salvation? Are you paying attention to what's happening with you? What's going on with you? Are you all right spiritually? Are you drifting or are you paying attention? Because the Lord is saying, may I have your attention. And if you want to be saved, you got to hear the gospel, believe it, repent of your sins, confess Christ, be baptized. And people say, well, do I have to be a member of the Church of Christ to be saved? No, you got to be saved in order to be a member of the Church of Christ. And the only way you can be saved is obey the gospel of Christ. And that's hearing the gospel, believe it, repent of your sin, confess Christ, being baptized. And the Lord adds you. You don't join the church for your choice. The Lord adds you to his church. And you're faithful unto death, and you will receive a crown of life that will never. Praise God. Ain't God good? Ain't God good? Ain't God good? There's a lily is in the, oh Lord, and it's bright. Lord, I know there's a lily. Well, it's in the, oh Lord, and it's brighter than the morning. Well, I know there's, well, it's in the, oh Lord, and it's brighter than the morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well,